Cheryl?
Hello?
God, I called you Cheryl. I'm sorry.
Should we start over?
What do you mean, like, I care?
No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, actually, yeah, let's play. Actually, I should play the theme song. Let's be
just,
a little bit.
Just act like we're starting over now, but don't actually call me back. Yeah.
Duh.
Duh.
I'm ready!
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Riviera Hotel very proudly presents the star of our show, the lovable Miss Toni Fields.
Hello!
All right, Rachel, I wanted to play the instrumental opening, but instead I didn't. I played the Jameson Flatowitz Beastie Boys mix. I have cool. Rachel Cann with me, and
I'm echoing. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
I can turn it off.
It's fine. It's not echoing anymore.
It might start. If it starts, let me know, because I know what closes it. Anyway, enough with that. So, first of all, Rachel Cann is here with me, and let me explain one thing, lest anyone think that I'm not saying lest, because I just did. But somebody, James, who's done some of the most amazing album art, did a very special album art that Rachel hasn't seen neither, and it's for once it is not disparaging of her face, I don't think. So it was such amazing album art, we had to do a program in order to use it, because otherwise it'll sit on my goddamn computer forever, and I'll forget about it, and then, I'll be, you know what I mean.
I knew that was why we were recording, because you were excited about the album art. Can you,
no, actually,
everyone
not
who's
true.
Listening will mm-hmm. actually have seen it by now, can you tell me about it?
Oh, it'll that's kind of weird. I don't know about that.
Really?
I always like you being surprised by the album art. That's a pleasure for me.
But it will be like I was surprised because everyone who's listening now has already seen it.
No,
okay, fine. You're right. Fine.
I need to know the genuine surprise because you might hate it. You know what I mean?
I think I probably will.
Like you hated the toes, didn't you?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I
but
took
I had
that
nothing.
Picture. I don't want to look at feet. That's for sure.
I had nothing. But then I saw those toes. I'm like, okay, toes.
Horrible. It's me and my mother's feet.
Did you send me that picture? I didn't even know that. I just saw it on my hard drive. I'm like,
no, I don't know why you
that's
have it.
Really
it was
you?
On Instagram.
Oh my god, that's really you? No, that's just weird.
You're
honest
like a
to god.
Stalker.
No,
you don't even know.
That's so weird because like I had that, you know, I just have photos everywhere and sometimes I just search for things and I'm just like looking for a photo and I see these feet, I'm like, eh, that looks appropriate.
You didn't know that's me and my mother's feet.
If I knew, I forgot, because I absolutely did not know consciously.
Why are you downloading pictures of my feet, though?
I didn't. You probably sent it to me. Why the fuck would I download a picture? I don't even use Instagram, ever. I've never used Instagram, unless
that's
maybe
true.
You post.
Oh, I have a great story about that. You know how when I ask you about using Instagram, you go, I'm not a child. It's for children.
Yeah.
So the other day I was talking to another friend of mine about Vine. And
yeah.
He said the exact same thing. He's like, I'm not 12. I'm not vining. I'm like, you sound just like Madge. You assholes. Like, Facebook is so mature and complex.
Wow.
How's a segue like that for you? Let me hear. What's going on? Facebook me.
No, I think I love Vine. I won't deny that it's for 12-year-olds. But what I like about it is the thing I don't like about Instagram, it's not the idea of what it is. It's the instant horrible effects that bothers me a lot. Like
it takes you out of the moment to like to be in the moment of taking a picture
rather than experiencing. Not at all.
Oh.
I mean, that's about taking pictures. I have no problem with that. It's
right.
All of the special effects that they put on it, like to instantly make it look like a 1970s faded color photograph.
That's what bothers you about Instagram
it, yeah,
is that they have
absolutely.
Photo effects.
Yeah. Absolutely, it does.
Okay.
It bothers
well,
me a lot.
I think because you're both fucking
because,
weird for different reasons.
Of course you do, and I don't blame you, but it
yeah.
bothers me because it takes something that used to be something that required an artist, and it just fucking automates it by a computer, and it fucking bothers me. It's just like
that
when you can...
Parchment is not... Okay, sorry.
It's just like when you can have an iPhoto, iMovie make a... you know, a trailer for you. Of course, it's not as good as if somebody really did it. It just bothers me. Anyway, whatever. I'm not saying it's rational. I'm just saying it's right.
It's just how you feel, and feelings are always right.
Exactly.
I know.
So, no, the reason I really wanted a podcast yesterday is because I was in such a goddamn fucking piss-poor mood for some reason.
Yeah, you were freaking out a little bit.
I was so upset. No, I wasn't really. Was I freaking out? I know I sent you weird...
You were kind of erratic, but that's not a big deal. Like, because I'm... That's just
well,
whatever,
I was asking you questions about your age.
You seemed unhappy, though. I don't care about that.
Oh, I wasn't
happy. You're okay.
I wasn't
happy. That sounds like you weren't okay at the moment.
You know what? The thing is, and it has to do... It ties in with what I was posting today. Because part of the reason... Well, you know, I made this post about, like, okay... you know, I've never done the whole friend pruning thing, and I've always kind of thought it was kind of, you know, obnoxious. You know, like, to make people afraid, you know, wonder whether or not they're going to be pruned. It's like, am I going to be in the school play? You know, wait for the list to come out, that kind of thing. And it's just like this tremendous false ego boost for me. But I did it anyway, but I'm kind of like joking because I've never deleted a friend who didn't delete me first or wasn't a Republican. Is that reasonable? Does that make sense? I'm not asking if you agree. I'm just asking if that's clear.
I mean, this is like...
It's very rare that I've defriended anyone. The only people who I've, you know... Yeah, the only people who I've ever blocked are people that defriend me. Because I figure if somebody defriends me without, like, explaining why, then I'll just block them. You know, and just say, okay, well then, you must hate me, so I will make sure you can never see my shit. But...
Yeah, they shouldn't. I agree. Like, I think this is all kind of like a really weird conversation. This stuff is like talk about weirdly infantilized, but I totally get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, if someone unfriends you, why would you not block them?
I'll just get to the point. I'll just get to the point because I'm vague booking. I realize that. I'm vague podcasting, and that's not necessary. There's two issues here. One has to do with the controversy on Facebook, which we can talk about in a minute.
Okay.
The other one is entirely personal.
Okay.
I think that the feminist one is very worth discussing, worth discussing because it's interesting. But the other one is purely personal. It's just that, what the fuck was that?
I don't know. It was loud.
We had a death in the family today. It's been horrible here.
God, I'm so sorry.
It's not like it's my brother-in-law's aunt. So, you know, it wasn't. That, you know, somebody who I was particularly close with, but for the people and the other people in this house, it was a big deal.
Death is horrible. It's the worst.
No, it's great. I love it.
I mean for the people around the person who croaks, not the croaker.
I thought you meant for cockroaches. No, it's just that I have no issues. I love my Facebook friends for the most part that I don't really either know or rarely see. Like people that live far away, friends that I've never met in my life, people fans of the podcast. I enjoy all those people. I mean, pretty much all of them, you know, I like them and I wouldn't, you know, I have no reason why I would ever not want them to be friends. I don't have issues. The people I have issues with are real life friends. Okay. Like people who live in Chicago and, you know, I don't want to be too specific because there's certain things I just don't feel I can be specific about due to, you know, things that I do, like, you know, let's just say fellowships and that sort of thing.
And, yes, I understand.
I'm just tired of people, you know, like pretending to be fucking friendly. And then when I see them in real life, they just fucking diss me, like run away, or they'll like, you know, be with a bunch of people and then they'll like form a little group and then they magically disappear so that I won't have to go eat with them. You know, that kind of clicky bullshit. And yes, it's infantile, but I'm on the receiving end of that infantileness. So that's the shit that I have issues with. It has nothing. It's not Facebook directly. Facebook is like my salvation, because in Facebook that's like where I really feel like my social life on Facebook is much more genuine than my social interactions in real life, and which is part of why I loved that movie I saw today that I told you.
Oh yeah, we're gonna talk about that too.
It was called
Frances Ha.
Yeah,
but what's the full title? I can't remember.
That is the full title.
Oh, I thought it was like the something of Francis Ha or something.
I don't know.
Whatever. Everyone will know what we're talking about. Francis Ha.
It's such a good movie. You know, because it's this girl who's just different. She doesn't know how to not be different, but it's what makes her so... She's a fantastic person, and she lives in New York. She's fascinating in the land of all these artists and people that are supposedly fascinating in New York, you know. But she's really amazing, and of course, nobody wants to talk to her or really be her friend. At least, that's the premise, anyway. You know.
I'm very flattered that you said I reminded you of her.
Yeah, yeah. But I, yeah, you do. You reminded me of it a lot, actually.
Because no one wants to hang out with her.
Well,
and it's like it's
It reminded me of both of us, but it reminded me more of you because there were things in common, like dancing and just a lot of things. I don't want to spoil the movie because I actually liked the movie.
Yeah, and I should we talk about my prejudice against it? I think is really funny.
Yeah.
Okay,
because
so
the star is dating the director. Or
I have
something?
An instant problem with it. It's not that the star is dating the director.
See, this is it like you.
The director is a 43-year-old,
yeah.
And she's like 25 or something. But it doesn't really matter.
So
good
what?
For them. Good for them. Who gives a shit?
Where the fuck do you care how old? Okay, no, I should.
She's also a Jew and she's a shiksa. There's a lot about it that pisses me off.
This is my. To me, this makes us even because this is your Instagram.
What is my Instagram?
This movie is your Instagram. To me.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
No, I know it's crazy. It just kind of got on my nerves. I was like, dude, he's like 43 with this like 25-year-old muse and like...
My God, you know.
Whatever.
I don't know because, you know...
Who cares? I'm probably just jealous because I'm broke and I'm
exactly.
Like the old director Jew man looking for my blonde
Rachel, this
Aryan
could have,
princess.
Because honestly, when I saw this, I thought this could have been written by you. It could have been you. Not saying, you know, you know what I mean. This is some. If you said Rachel Kahn, this was Rachel Kahn wrote this film, I would have no problem believing it.
That's very flattering.
Mm-hmm. Well, see the movie first. You didn't see it, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So I don't really want to get into like some deep, heavy. I don't want to argue, but I do want to because we did enough of that last time, and I think you basically
we really didn't argue.
I think you. Yeah. And most people agreed with you, so I don't want to lose again, so I'd rather not argue.
I don't think we had an argument. I think we had a conversation, but I've had a lot of thoughts about...
And it was, and you're right, and it was good, but I also found it draining in a certain way that I don't really want to be drained right now. Just because... Well, and the other thing is I went to the fucking doctor today. My cholesterol is high. Really, you know, like, dangerously high. And it was the same way it was 3 months ago when he told me the first time, and of course I didn't do a goddamn thing to change my diet. I mean, I exercise 5 days a week, but my diet is shit. So all that has to change, I mean, it just fucking pisses me off. I know it's totally fixable. All I have to do is change my diet, but now, like, as soon as he says that, and I'm like, fuck, I realized my life is completely based on food.
I hear you.
Yeah. It's,
my whole pleasure zone, joy, happiness is all built around food.
Yeah, and then in a moment I realized, wow, all this I was taking for granted. Not having the threat of cardiovascular disease hanging over your head if you eat a fucking cookie. That I've had the pleasure of not having to worry about heart disease for many years of my life, and now I don't have that. And I... You know what I mean? It's like when you realize something you've been taking for granted, you didn't know it, you know?
I sure do.
Yeah.
I don't think this is like that. I think it is that. I'm going to tell you something, though, that's a way to approach this that will be really helpful.
Please do.
I'm not kidding. Instead of thinking about, listen, I don't mean to diminish what you must do and what the doctor told you to do. I'm just talking about reframing in your brain.
Yes.
Instead of thinking about the things that you can't eat.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the real, and by the way, not the foods that the media or advertising companies say are cholesterol lowering,
well,
but foods that truly are cholesterol lowering.
I gotcha.
If you think about forcing yourself to add those to your diet,
yeah,
rather than subtract. And I don't mean like a seasoning on the side. I mean like before you eat anything else at any meal, eat a huge bowl of spinach and greens with lemon. You know what I mean? Shit like that.
Yeah.
And then whatever you're hungry for, you know, I don't mean go crazy, whatever, but you see what I'm saying? If you think of it as supplementing rather than subtracting.
No, I get it. It's like the same idea of when you quit smoking, put a pack of cigarettes in a bowl of water and freeze it. So you can have a cigarette, but first you got to wait for it to thaw. You know, I agree with that. The problem, though, is I love, like, vegan food. I love vegetables, vegetarian food. My problem, or at least I should say my biggest obstacle, is the fact that, you know, I don't cook, and I'm never home. So I find myself restaurants a lot, and that sort of thing. And I just feel like, you know, there's very few restaurants. I don't know. That's just where I'm at. I mean, I'm sure I can do it. It's just a lot of changes. And, you know, when people cook for me, like there's a couple of people that cook for me maybe once or twice a week, and they usually don't care about, you know, things like not putting meat in food. And I just don't. The thing is, I really would like to try veganism, but I don't know. You know, whatever. Mikey Pod sent me this. I don't know. I feel stupid talking about it. I feel stupid.
May I say some things in response then?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so
was
just
that
like
you
what,
or me, that siren.
First of all, the analogy you made before is not actually, it's like totally not analogous at all. There's nothing about putting a pack of cigarettes in a bowl of water and freezing it that is at all analogous to what I was saying.
Why?
Because I'm saying think of adding something to your diet and lifestyle, not subtracting. So it's just a totally different example. They're both interesting. They're just separate and have really nothing to do with each other.
Fine.
If you do what I'm saying, it's going to help with all those situations.
Okay, but my problem is not that. I think it's a great strategy, but where do I get the bowl of spinach?
I'm gonna tell you.
Okay.
What I want to encourage you to do is, like, be glad that you don't cook. Not that that's such a great thing, but you can frame it and look at it as a positive.
Okay.
Because what you should be eating is raw, whole, unprocessed fruits and vegetables.
Wait, you want me to eat raw, whole?
Like spinach. Not like, what do you mean? What's so scary? You don't have to eat, like, a spaghetti squash with the skin on it.
No, you said I should eat raw, whole.
Oh, raw, whole, yeah. Okay.
No, go ahead.
That's a good one. But seriously, like, any supermarket has a bag of cleaned, like, triple-rinsed baby spinach.
Okay, what do you do with it?
You know, just eat it.
You
just
eat spinach, like, plain, like a rabbit?
Open the bag and eat it like Cheetos.
I'm not a fucking rabbit.
Cheetos, eat that.
What if I have to itch my vagina?
Do the same thing you would do if you were eating Cheetos.
I'd itch my vagina.
Then carry on.
And then, I mean, well, Cheetos is different because then you have to wash your hands. You know, that's true.
So right.
I won't itch my vagina when I'm eating it. But what if, oh my God, that just sounds weird. Okay, honestly, I could eat cooked spinach. I can't imagine eating plain spinach with nothing else.
Don't you eat spinach in a salad?
Yes, but that's with something. That's with dressing and some other things.
The only way I can tell you is the only way that I ever started doing that was after the water fast. Like, the water fast did change my taste buds and certain things. I was able, like, when
well,
I put a handful
starving.
Of spinach in my mouth, I don't care. You can laugh all you want. Okay. But my cholesterol numbers are amazing.
Really?
Yeah. I have other problems, believe me.
That's great.
Whatever. Well, see, I think it's a lot genetics, too, to be honest. Do you know, like, if there's...
Yeah, I have a genetic predisposition.
Yeah, I think I'm lucky in that area.
No,
but not
you probably are your parents don't have high cholesterol?
Not really, nope. But they have other shit, you know what I mean? I have my own shit.
See, my parents both do, but I always thought it was a Jew thing because we're so fucking inbred.
So what I'm suggesting, if you can even just think of adding the spinach or whatever tastes good to you, maybe it's apples, maybe it's
love
carrots.
Apples, love carrots, yeah.
Okay, so keep a bunch of those around. And even when you go to your friend's house, like, I totally get it. I'm working a lot on boundaries and shit right now, too. Just recently, Richard. Oh, sorry. Fuck. Recently, Madge. It's 1953.
It's okay. I know you're schizophrenic. You hear voices. Sometimes you have to give them names.
So very recently, I found myself, I was hanging out with someone who I really wanted to hang out with. And we were having a dandy time. And they were like, oh, I'm going to use a fake food because I don't even want the person to know I'm talking about them because it's so weird of me in case they hear this.
Yeah.
They go, oh, let's get an order of potato skins with extra cheese, which isn't really the food, but I'm using it as a slide-in.
Yeah.
And I didn't want it at all, which is, like, rare when I'm not craving something disgusting anyway. But, like, it genuinely didn't sound good to me for some weird reason in that moment. And I ate it because I have such bad boundaries. Like, I didn't want to say, no, I don't want that. Like, it was really weird. Like, I just, so my point is to take that to the other level of, like, I'm just saying in that moment I was conscious. It wasn't like I had some inner conflict where I'm like, oh, no, I don't want the potato skins. No, I'm going to eat them. It was all very unconscious. But when I tried to stay conscious and think about it, I was like, I don't even really want those. I just kind of was with someone who wanted them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My point is this, though. Even if you have friends who love to cook for you and for some reason you feel weird to tell them your dietary needs.
Yeah.
If you eat a bag of spinach or an apple or a big bag of carrots before you go there, you're just not going to eat as much bad stuff.
Oh, so I don't have to bring the bag of spinach with me because I'm picturing
right before.
So what, I'm going to stand on the elevator with a bag of spinach?
No, it doesn't have to be like the nanosecond before, like before you go there.
Because I thought you were saying like, bring the spinach with you, like in a paper bag. And then when they serve me food, I just eat out of this bag of spinach. And then
trying
I was going
to help you feel less weird
about
it.
But then I was going to say, no wonder I don't have friends.
Yeah, no. I'm trying to help you feel more normal, not less normal.
Okay.
So whatever it is for you, apple, carrots, maybe a little bit of all three. Maybe you'll develop a taste like, greens are really, really good for you.
Oh, see, the thing is, I love
some raw bok choy. If you could eat some kale, if you're into that, if you have a blender and you could even make a smoothie, but just be careful with sugars and stuff. But, like, most importantly, it has to be, I think if you think about adding something rather than all that you're subtracting, it's going to be better. And the same goes for the vegan thing. Instead of thinking, like, oh, I want to be vegan, but I don't know how, and then give up. Just be mostly vegan. Just take the pressure off it. You know what I mean? And then if you eat some animal, you eat some animal. You know what I mean? Like, don't be crazy.
For me, it's not about...
I'm talking about the health, not the
anything else. Okay. Yeah. No, and I agree with that. It's just it feels a bit overwhelming at the moment. Yeah, but those are good suggestions.
Totally, I totally understand. I don't mean to at all invalidate
your feelings. You have a very, do you eat meat?
Actually, I have a really funny food story I would like to share right now. And yes, I eat meat. I've been in so many crazy extremist things with food. At this point, I don't eat it very often.
I want to know, just give me an idea what your typical diet is like, not in terms of quantity, but in terms
it's
of
very erratic from day to day. Like, it's seriously different every day. I try not to eat bread, but I still do. Well, go ahead. Okay, but I really have a funny food story to
believe you. What kind of bread?
So I try not to eat bread.
Okay, but if you do eat bread, what kind?
It would be like because I was in a situation where something was really good. Like last Sunday, I went to see my favorite teacher teach.
Your favorite teacher's name is Teach?
No, I went to see him teach. You put a comma where there was none.
You said went to see my teacher teach.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
I put the verb of it.
Sorry. Okay.
It's okay. And because it was in a synagogue, it was in a shul, right? So they had like a whole like fressers like spread out, and they had like some delicious jewy bagels.
A fressers? So did you say what's a fressers?
Yeah.
What is
like
that?
Kosher, like snacking.
Okay, never heard that word. Okay.
Fressing. It's like eating.
Okay.
So anyway, they had a big thing of like proper bagels.
Oh, okay.
So I wasn't going to be like, oh, I don't eat bread. I fucking slapped some cream cheese on that with some cucumber and tomato, and it was delicious. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
But here's what I've learned about me with food. I am very out of sight, out of mind. If I have bread in my home, I'll eat it.
No, I'm
if
curious.
If I buy it, I'm okay.
But, like, do you ever eat junk food?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I don't have any taboo, weird thing. You know, but do I eat junk food often? No, I can't remember. I don't know.
When was the last time you ate junk food?
I don't know what you consider junk food. Like, I ate a slice of pizza recently. It was delicious.
What about McDonald's?
No, it's been a while. McDonald's? Okay. I don't know.
Ice cream? Regular?
Okay, this is my story from last night. Thank you. So, last night, as I was saying, if something's out of sight, out of mind, I'm good with it. But my roommate went out of town, and he left ice cream in the freezer, and I found it. And it was mint and chip, which isn't even a flavor I like. And I was up really, really late, like, completing some teaching that had to get done, my online teaching stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, the later it gets, if I'm working super late, then I get hungry again. That's when I really, like, I'm like, ugh. Because it's, yeah, like, you go, like, where you could have been asleep unconscious, if you stay up, like, I'm hungry again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I got to that point, and it was like a Ben and Jerry's size container, but not Ben and Jerry's quality ice cream. So probably a little less fat too, but not like healthy. Still ice cream.
Yeah, but sometimes
like 7-Eleven brand mint and chip ice cream.
But see, if it's 7-Eleven, that's a lot less calories because they fluff it up with air.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But that size container, and I would say that I ate not the entire container, only because part of it was gone already.
Yeah.
But I would say that I ate 3/4 of the container, yeah, more than half, around 3/4.
Okay.
And I ate all, and it was like 2 a.m. when I ate it. I like finished my work, and I was like so stoked, and I like watched some Arrested Development and ate the whole thing of ice cream before I even knew what was happening. It was gone. And I was like, this is going to be great because I'm going to probably wake up tomorrow feeling so sick that I will learn my lesson. You know what I mean? Because I don't even hardly eat dairy. Hardly ever.
Okay.
I woke up this morning. I felt so fucking good. I felt amazing. I felt fucking satisfied. Eating it was a totally satisfying, wonderful experience.
Yeah.
It was delicious and fulfilling. My stomach didn't hurt. I woke up feeling great, like with a belly full of ice cream. And do you know what I mean?
And then at noon you had explosive diarrhea?
No, I've felt better today than I have in weeks.
See, I was going to say that when you said you were afraid of a ice cream hangover, I was going to say, because I don't get that. I don't, unless I eat like at like 3 a.m.
It was like 3 a.m. It was after 2. It was like 2 something.
At what time did you wake up?
I woke up at like 8 because I had to go take an aerobics class for an audition to go teach.
Oh, that's fucking weird.
Man, I know. I woke up expecting to be like really regretful. I felt amazing. And I was like, what the hell is wrong with me? Like, I felt so good. I mean, I don't even know what to say. Hmm. All day I felt better.
Was there marijuana involved?
No, wouldn't I still be hungover and feel weird in the morning if I ate pot ice cream? You can get pot ice cream now in California, by the way.
That's pretty cool. That
is
helps.
It cool? That helps. I don't know if it is.
It's very helpful. Now I'm going to go to the 7-Eleven and buy some ice cream. There's one right down the street.
It was so good. It was like the it was mint chip, as I said. You know how sometimes the chocolate in ice cream, it's like, it's not as good as it should be because it's like cold. I don't know. I like room temperature melty chocolate. You know what I mean?
I do too.
So sometimes I'm like, well, there's chocolate, but it's really kind of just hard and waxy in here in this ice cream situation I'm in right now. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but this is a bit much. It's not helping.
This was delicious. These chocolate chips were like the kind that are like salty. Do you know what I mean? I get it.
Yeah. Keep telling me how good this ice cream was that I won't be eating for the rest of my life.
I'm going to tell you something you can make that is fucking delicious and just as good as ice cream.
A kale shake?
No. Get some bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Go get bananas.
Okay.
Put them in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah.
Freeze them.
Okay.
Put them in a Vitamix blender.
Yeah.
With, while they're still frozen, put them in there.
Mm-hmm.
with like a little cocoa if you want it, a little cinnamon if you want it, nothing if you want it. And it will make the creamiest, richest, most delicious ice cream that you would not, I'm not kidding. I'm not saying like, well, it's healthy and it's kind of like ice cream. I'm saying if I gave it to you, you would not believe me that it was an ice cream.
So it's bananas and what else?
That's it. Frozen bananas.
Do they have to be brown?
What?
Do they have to be brown?
No. I mean, it's better if they're ripe, for sure. It's the sweeter, more brown there, the sweeter it'll be.
Sugar?
You don't have to add any sugar.
No yogurt or anything? That doesn't even make sense.
I know. Trust me. Trust me.
But I don't have a Vitamix. Can I just use a normal blender?
Try. Yeah, I think you should be able to. You might have to add a little water, just like a few drops. Just a few drops in a regular blender. And then if you want, you can add cinnamon, I was saying, or cocoa, or both. And it will be as good as chocolate ice cream. And you won't need any sugar or anything. I promise.
I don't have Vitamix, but I'll try it. But I'm skeptical without the Vitamix.
Oh, I know. Try it in your blender. Do you have a juicer? It works in a juicer, too.
No.
Okay, so try it in your blender and add a few drops of water if you need to.
Okay. Okay, and I have to peel them before I freeze them? Is it better that way? No.
Are you joking?
I've never peeled a frozen banana. Isn't that hard?
You can't do it. Peel them first.
Okay. No, I didn't know that. You can't peel a frozen banana?
Peel it before you freeze them.
Because we have some frozen bananas in the freezer now, but they're not peeled. So I have to freeze.
That's the magic I don't know about.
What are you eating now?
I'm so hungry. I'm eating brown rice. I'm glad I'm eating something healthy, I can tell you, but brown rice with spinach and like this like Indian curry sauce and like just like frozen vegetables. It's like I threw it all in the microwave and just made it. I can teach you how to cook things for yourself really fast and healthy that are like not cooking, by the way.
I want to share something else because this is a tangent. We don't even ever have to talk about the feminism bullshit, but I want to have a little bit of a fundraiser, but it's not. It's for charity. Because, okay, you know how Trotsky's super cute, right?
Yeah, super cute.
Yeah. So last year, so there's these crazy people, which sometimes I post their little crazy listserv emails, called the Italian Greyhound Rescue Association. It's just like, or Federation. Just like any other rescues, it's a 503C, you know. They raise money to rescue dogs from puppy mills and unwanted, specifically to that breed. They have them for pretty much every breed you can think of. So last year they had this calendar. We found out about it late. So we wanted to get Trotsky in the calendar. The only thing they had left are what they call thumbnails. So these little pictures of the dogs on, you know, the bottom of the month. So there's like a big picture of a dog at the top of the month and then the little pictures around. So Trotsky was one of the little pictures around on February of 2013, okay? Very cute.
I totally remember. It's wonderful, okay. Yeah.
So my niece is really, you know, she loves Trotsky, of course. She wants him to be a cover. You know, she wants basically her birthday and my birthday are in March, and she really wants Trotsky to be the dog for March. And we have it reserved. But we don't have the money, and it costs $150. So I would like to know if anybody in the audience would like to sponsor Trotsky, and all of the money goes to the Italian Greyhound Rescue Federation. All of it, except I imagine maybe, you know, a few cents in production, because there's many months. So if anybody would like to contribute to this, please do a PayPal to me, rishi@hotmail.com. And there's a link on Yeast Radio. Don't you think that would be nice?
Sure. If someone wants to give you money for that and it all goes to help the doggies, sure.
Every penny will. And if I get more money than that, then it'll still all go to them. They'll just get
donate
extra.
It all.
Absolutely. Because the check, I'm going to write a check made out directly to IGCRF. And if you'd rather do the check directly to them, that's fine. But I need you to send me the check. So email me, bloatedlesbian@gmail.com. Because I would just physically take the check, put it in an envelope, and mail it to them so that they know that it counts towards my Trotsky's photo.
You never get money for people that are like, this is for you and Rachel specifically, and then give it to Cheryl, right?
What? Never.
I'm just kidding. I didn't think that. I'm kidding.
No. Nobody okay, ever listen. Does that, because the one time I tried to get you to beg, you're just like, no, I don't want any money. I don't want any money. You hate begging. You just...
I do hate begging.
And Cheryl and
I'd rather
totally
earn money than beg.
Well, we have different attitudes about that, but that's why you've never gotten any.
I know.
But if I will say, if anybody earmarks money for just Rachel, for me, well, what should you have a PayPal or no?
Yeah, they can just give it to me if they really wanted to do that, but I would share it with you anyway.
Okay, so just use the PayPal link. But if you want to, if it's for Rachel and me, just say so.
I'm just kidding. Listen, I want to. While we're talking about listeners, though,
but then you can always send you an Amazon.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about listeners.
Okay, go ahead.
Quinn.
Yeah.
Starbox ist bereit zur Verbindung mit dem Gerät.
Sorry, that was my speaker. She speaks German now. Go ahead, Quinn.
Why do you say that?
It's from, you know, his name is from The Rosencavalier.
The what?
It's from an opera called The Rosencavalier. That's where his nickname is.
The Rosencavalier?
Yeah, by Richard Strauss. And it's one of my favorite, if not the favorite operas. It's a German opera.
I don't know anything about what you're saying right now. You're so much more artistic than me right now.
Okay, anyway, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's something like, but Quinn is the nickname of the Rosencavalier, which is the little boy who delivers the rose to the, you know, to make an offer of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
For the rich guy, to the Rosencavalier, and that's his nickname in this particular opera, Quinn or Quinn. I don't know how to pronounce it. And this German opera, this person we're talking about is German, also. So
I just always thought it was Quinn because I was just picturing.
Well, whatever. Maybe it is for, but
no, it could be. It could be like. Like Q U in French, it could be like Ken or something. Ken, like you're saying.
The only way I've heard it pronounced is sung in falsetto in an opera, and I can't even begin to try and replicate that.
So we need to like post and say the pronunciation and spell it out phonetically for us.
What I would really like to do is play the part of the opera where it's actually said, but that would take too much time to find it. Maybe I'll do that and insert it. I'll put a set. I'll put a bookmark here just in case. Okay.
But I want to just say how special he is to me. Like we had like a really. Sent me a beautiful email that I still have to reply to because I suck. But no, it was only like today, actually. It was a really nice email.
Oh, he sent you an email in addition to the huge comment on the blog and all that?
Yeah. That was, and it just, you know.
He is a very nice person.
I hope you know. Very nice person. I'm so appreciative that he exists. It's crazy. So many of our listeners I feel that way about that. I seriously like sit there sometimes and I'm like, oh my God! Thank you for existing.
Well,
really.
I guess he is our new fan. He is our replacement fan.
Our single fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now listen, seriously, that conversation we had. I'm not trying to get back into it. There's nothing. I didn't find it to be an argument, but it's really funny. It's like talking about spirituality at all is so taboo for people. I think that's why it really, whatever end of it you're on, wherever you fall on the spectrum, it's such a charged subject for people, like more than I even realized, I think, until we did that, because it's such a constant.
I think
not saying that like I'm so like elevated, like I'm a gross hot mess. It's just something that I spend time obsessing over in my weird head full of obsession.
You know what I find interesting too is that I find that people, because of the positions I take and those sorts of things, a lot of people, and I mean dozens of people, automatically assume that I'm an atheist, which I'm not. And they just assume that. But see, that's not my
atheism
position.
Atheism also, you should know this, so as you say that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people assume atheism when they assume intelligence too. So
absolutely, and I
to
think
be a compliment to you, whether you believe in God or not.
Well, I think that's more of an insult than a compliment, but whatever. I understand why you're saying that.
Yeah.
I think it's elitist when people say that. I understand.
Me too.
I understand.
But I'm just saying it's a common thing.
I'm not a fan of I mean, I have friends that are atheists. I have no problem with that. I just
me either.
It's again, it goes back to my thing about, you know.
I don't care what anybody believes. I mean, most people who define themselves as atheists, unless they're like really fired up on some Christopher Hitchens shit, like if you talk to them, usually agnostic.
What's that other guy that really just is, you know, fiending for atheists? It begins with a D. Richard Dawkins.
Yeah, Dawkins.
Yeah.
I've heard creepy stuff about him anyway in other subjects. Anyway. My point is this, like, being an atheist, if you're, like, a true, pure atheist, you freak me out. You're a fundamentalist. Fundamentalism freaks me out. Nobody knows for sure if there's a God or not. It's very simple. Like, if we get down to brass tacks, nobody knows for sure.
Right.
If you're an atheist, that's as weird to me as being a fundamentalist of any ideology.
Yeah, because you're still and I'm not using this word correctly, but you're a Gnostic. You're saying you do know. You know definitely. You're saying, I know for sure there is no God. Just like I know for sure Jesus died on the cross for me. You know, I have no doubt in my mind. And that's faith. And I think it's faith. To be an atheist. Well,
it's fine, but if you really get down to the brass tacks, we all have to admit we don't know for sure.
No, but
none of us know for sure.
I don't think everybody, I mean, I would of course agree with you, but I don't think everybody would, and I don't think an atheist would. I think an atheist would say, I think some people, well, everybody's different, and a lot of people, their brain works differently, and they don't have certain paradoxes show up that make that what you just said clear. You know what I mean? Like, there are paradoxes in the world that cause me to make myself basically an agnostic, saying, of course I can't know, there's something bigger than this, because if I look at it all, it just keeps going in like an infinite loop. It doesn't make sense. Right. It's a paradox. And
beyond our comprehension, whatever.
Right. But not everybody has that sense. And maybe I maybe sound elitist to even say that. But I believe that's so. So I think it has to do with people thinking differently, like almost like operationally differently.
Whatever. I mean, you could use, I mean, that's just how I feel about people who think that way. You could say the same thing about a fundamentalist jihadist or a fundamentalist Hindu or a fundamentalist Christian or a fundamentalist Jew or anything.
The same way. What?
And I would still be like, you know what? Anyone who's like, I know for sure, for sure, for sure. And you're saying you and I are on some elite level where we can comprehend that we don't know for sure. And some people might not be on our level and able to comprehend that. I'm going to give all of basic humanity the benefit of the doubt on that one, unless they're like mentally compromised in some way.
The benefit of the doubt meaning what?
I think everyone can comprehend the fact that we don't know for sure about anything.
Okay.
I mean, if people can watch The Matrix and understand it, like, that's more complex than what I'm putting forth
right
now.
Fair enough. Then I would like to hear from some atheists what they have to say about that.
That's fine. Let's hear what they have to say, because they'll have to, if they have any kind of intellect, this is just a conversation about reason.
So just to be clear, the question we're posing to the audience is, if you are an atheist, do you feel that you know for sure there is no God? No,
this is where the problem lies in. This is not, do you know for sure?
Okay.
Now we're had a problem with language. The word atheist.
Without God.
It doesn't mean, do you feel you know for sure? Atheist means no God. Without God, there is no God.
Yes.
So it's not about people's taste about words. This is when I get really pissed off. This is not semantics. The definition of the word. If they think that they're not for sure, that's fine. They're agnostic.
Correct.
That's the word.
Correct. Okay. Well, I didn't think I was being semantical, but fine. You know what? You know what Studs Terkel used to say.
Studs Terkel, tell me.
I had to follow him with a camera for a while, which was very enjoyable.
Really? I never knew that.
Oh yeah, I've spent a lot of time with him. I've been to his house and everything. Well, he's dead now.
Yeah.
My copy of Working is autographed.
He's one of my heroes.
Yeah, he's fucking great.
I can't believe we never talked about this. Go on, sorry.
But he gave me a apple juice, and it had this pulpy fungus, like, that was so old. And I think, when I think of Studs Terkel, I think of this nasty apple juice he gave me.
What made you think of that right now, though?
Oh, because he says one of those things he always said, and he says, an agnostic is a cowardly atheist.
Well, that's true in a sense. Like, but I could also say an agnostic is a cowardly God lover.
That doesn't sound as poetic.
I like it. Okay, well, let's make it sound more poetic. An agnostic is a cowardly zealot.
Okay, fine. I don't get it, but okay, it does sound better.
It's the same. Because they might be like, an agnostic is saying, I don't know.
Oh, an agnostic. Would you say an agnostic is a cowardly zealot or an atheist?
An agnostic.
Yeah, okay, I get that. But then if you look at it that way, then an atheist is, what's an atheist a cowardly version of?
You know? They're not. They're a fundamentalist. An atheist is an extremist.
Okay.
An atheist is a fundamentalist.
Okay, so let's hear what the atheist... Because I know there's a lot of atheists are out there. Let's hear what they have to
say. This is about language. Anyone who says they know for sure that there's absolutely no God, that's their prerogative.
I want to hear somebody... I want to hear what... or hear meaning in writing or whatever. I want to see somebody say, I am an atheist, yet, and I want to see how they respond to that. Like, maybe they disagree with you.
I understand
what you're saying.
That 2 plus 2 is 4. I don't know what it's like.
I agree with you, but I don't think that there would be that many atheists. I think most of the atheists I know are intelligent enough to know what you just said.
So then they're agnostics. This is about definitions.
Well, then why do they call themselves atheists? Do you see what I mean?
Maybe they need to pick up a dictionary.
Okay, well then you shouldn't be giving them the benefit of the doubt. We're in a little bit of a loop, I think. That's why I'm curious.
I want to say and go on record. I don't care.
Okay.
What we're talking about is word definitions.
Okay.
Atheist means I am definitely positive there is no God.
Okay.
If someone calls themselves an atheist, they say, well, I'm an atheist, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
That's fine. They're just using the word wrong. They're saying, I think 2 plus 2 is 5 because it's prettier and it pleases my eye. And I will say to them, fine.
Okay,
great.
But couldn't you be an... And this is really something I want to hear back from the audience. Hopefully somebody is listening besides Kong Kong.
Kong.
But why, okay, in agnostic, if you're going to be, look at the dictionary, okay, you're an atheist, which literally means no God. Well,
yeah.
God is, by the dictionary, a supernatural force personified that runs the universe. So
okay.
You could say be an atheist, yet still believe in some sort of a universal thus and so, couldn't you?
No.
Why?
Because that's the understanding of God for many religions.
But not for all.
Well, you think someone who believes in God has to believe in every religion's version of God?
No, but a God in the dictionary of the language that we use is, you know, a personification of a supernatural force running the universe. That's pretty specific.
No. If it says that, then I would argue with that definition, because God is not personified in many religions. It is in many religions, and it is not in many religions.
God, the one supreme being, the creator and ruler of the universe, the supreme being considered with reference to a particular attribute, one of several deities, a supreme being. This is from dictionary.com, but I mean, you can check other dictionaries, but that's what the definition is.
That's fine. I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah. So
supreme being.
Yeah, being.
The act of being.
It's debatable. It is not a clear definition. We've just proved that. So I think that's where you'll get arguments from atheists. And anyway,
I love how you're like following out this entire argument that doesn't exist. We'll just have to wait and see. But yeah. I mean, just based on language, if you believe there's any potential that there's something beyond our comprehension that is any sort of organizing principle, then you are not by definition an atheist.
And I would say depends on your definition.
It's not. Okay, let's. I just looked at
the definition. I mean, I'm just.
You think I care what it says in dictionary.com about like the word theos? A theos? That's. I don't have a problem with the definition of supreme being anyway. Yeah. That's not any personification. It's the act of existing. That's why when for me, this is language that I've wrestled with a lot. Like words are always going to fall short. There's no way around that.
Mm-hmm.
Words are my stock and trade, and they're so fallible and they're so fragile, and we do what we can with them, especially when we're talking about the English language.
Yeah.
Part of what draws me to Judaism is the power of Hebrew.
Okay.
Huge part. Maybe like a large.
But you're
part.
Making it sound like it's so clear cut because it's atheist. Okay. But at the same time, we're admitting, I think we should agree that the dictionary is not clear.
You're absolutely right. Okay. So there's certain things in language that are mathematical. And I'm so grateful for those. We're like free falling through space with nothing to grab onto. And then in a few little rare instances, we're given a moment where there is like a rope thrown.
Okay.
And a theos is one of those moments.
Okay.
And it's okay. We shouldn't go back and forth because who cares? Like I will be open to whatever anyone has to say. But most likely, at the end of the day, I believe in the integrity of the word, and whatever it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? I have no proof that there's God. I have no proof that there isn't God. But I just the way we got onto this subject was like talking about like. Introducing the thought of spiritual relationship, your relationship to whatever you call spirituality, whoever we're talking about, into like the day-to-day experience. And I think that something I do a lot when I talk to you, and also just that I'm like when I'm trying to be gracious, like there's a lot, mostly I don't know shit.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly I don't know shit, but there are some things that I do know. And I just feel like I need to start giving myself credit for the things I do know, as well as easily as I give credit to myself for the things I don't know.
Absolutely.
Or discredit myself for the things I don't know, which I'm glad I do. I would rather be me and be like, not have, be like stuck up and be like, listen, I don't know. But like, I wish that I had better, like, historical fact-based things to explain to you. And again, it's a semantics thing I don't want to get into, but what I was trying to say about Judaism not being a religion is, you know, I just hope that maybe our listeners will explore that for themselves and, like, see what it is. A lot of people have already mentioned that they're curious and that they're, like, it's so interesting and exciting to me, and I feel so grateful when I hear from people that are like, they say, it makes me reflect on my own path. And anything I think that can cause us to be more conscious and more aware is beautiful. And I just think it's so interesting that the fact that it's Jewish is so triggering, especially for other Jews. It's just my constant journey. It's so funny.
Okay.
Like, I feel like if I was all into Hinduism, it wouldn't even matter to you.
That's last week's discussion. I think we pretty much dead-ended that. But going back to the original point that you had brought the spirituality thing up is, you know, you were saying how people don't like to talk about spirituality. I think they do like to,
they just don't. They're shy to.
Oh, okay. See, because what I find odd is, and I think that's true. I could make that observation about this, our culture, not necessarily others, and you know, because other different ones. And a lot of people think that Americans are particularly like hung up about like they can't think about death in like an intelligent way. Like we are always blocking it. What I find weird is this, because I do agree that there's a sort of block and taboo about spirituality, but at the same time, you have just this intense, intense obsession with death everywhere in popular culture. I mean, just all these fucking blood. I mean, all these action movies, like the kids watch here, this fucking explosion, 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 boom, boom, dead, dead, end of world, boom, boom, dead, 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 non-fucking stop. And then you have the actual murders doing the same thing practically. And you have murder and rape and all this shit. But we don't talk about what it means to be dead and what happens when you die and all that. I just find that contradiction fascinating.
I think you're bringing up something really interesting and like it's really excellently stated. I just would say that they're two halves of the same coin. I don't find them contradictory at all. I find the obsession with death is because we don't talk about it.
It's no, because it's absolutely suppressed. Okay. Well, okay. Well, then it makes sense, I suppose.
Yeah, but I mean, it's totally distorted as yeah. as you're putting forward. It's really sick and weird.
Yeah,
I totally agree with you. I just find that it exists. It's just like we're talking about with extremism. I just find people who are fundamentalists or extremists, they freak me out. I like things to be moderate. For me, I'm not a fundamentalist, and this is why. And this is why when you have in closed off religious circles, you have more. Like rape and molesting of kids. Like anytime things get shut off and suppressed, like dark stuff pops up. Yeah. And I feel like our culture's weirdness about death is a perfect example of that. I would even take it further and say like it affects like how we teach and treat youth and the elderly.
Okay, well, a lot of people sort of say religion is basically the cause of all wars. Maybe not quite as absolute, but where do you...
I would agree with that.
You would?
I mean, mostly... If you look at two little kids fighting over something, and they'll be like, Dad said, it's mine, Dad said, or whatever. Like, that's all it is when... Well, we're going to kill these people because God said this is our land. Okay, well, like, again, you have a God we can't check in with. The other side can't be like, God, did you say this homie could have our land?
Yeah.
And boom, you have war. It's just like the ultimate dad said, right?
And I also hear the argument a lot, atheists don't fight, basically.
That's ridiculous. Atheists are, listen.
Communists.
Move back to this thing again.
Wasn't Stalin an atheist? I mean, wasn't
There's
communist
good
Russia
and bad
atheist?
In every group of people.
Wait a second. Before, what? Seriously, wasn't the USSR an atheist state?
Communism is atheist, yeah. Yes.
Okay, so they killed a few dozen million.
Yeah, you have a perfect example of violence right there. Perfect, yeah.
There's
morals, but it is funny, it's ironic. Yeah. Morality doesn't line up with religious belief. They're completely amoral priests and rabbis and holy leaders of every place and morally reprehensible atheists. And you know what I mean? And there's good people in all those groups too. It's just like, you've got to parse it out. It's just two separate issues. It's like saying, you know, do people have brown hair and are they tall? And is there a correlation? Like it's total overlap. There's just good and bad people in every walk of life.
Or what color was George Washington's white horse?
Exactly.
So the whole reason that I was talking about this feminism thing, and I know I was like catching off guard because you hadn't heard about this, but, because from where I'm standing, this has been kind of misread, and I'll explain it, but, Facebook is, God, now I all of a sudden don't feel like talking about it because I feel kind of drained, and we've been talking for such a long time. And I just found out I have to go to the airport at 6:30. But, I'll just go.
You spend time about it.
I'll just start from where the first I heard about it. So, there's a person who listens to the show. Her name is Gina, and you know, and she is one of the main people for this organization called A is For, which is about you know, women's rights. And
is this a code name or is this a real person name?
I'm not sure.
No, but I mean, in our conversation right now, like on Facebook, they're Gina.
Yeah, Gina.
Okay, got it.
So anyway, so she posted something, and maybe it was a repost from A is For, and which is a great cause, by the way, and it's run by, there's like a co-chair like Martha Plimpton, who's on that, you know, TV show, whatever the fuck it's called. Anyway. But, so you should look at that as a plug for her. But what they pointed out a huge contradiction. Okay, the problem was they or somebody related to one of these causes, you know, maybe it was some sort of a parent, Planned Parenthood or something. Somebody posted a picture of the anatomy of a vagina, a woman's genitalia, you know, with the diagram, something you would see.
Yes, I already know about this. It's like went around like a few weeks ago.
Okay, yeah, because you're in the same circle. So that was there, and then these people were pointing out the contradictions.
The vagina circle.
The contradiction to the Facebook management putting letters and petitions out saying, look, you don't let us post this diagram of a vagina, yet you post all this misogynistic shit, right? And they shows there's tons of examples of that. You know, we're like this woman tits, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you get that, right?
There's like rape memes. Like, forget about that. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Now,
it's just like how they take down pictures of breast cancer survivors who have like tattoos right. over their scars.
So anyway, like I feel like what people like Gina were trying to say is don't censor us because you don't censor them. I don't think she was saying censor them because you're censoring us. You know what I mean? But I feel like that's what the argument has turned into, because in the articles I read of late, they don't even mention the original sort of hypocrisy thing. It's just become about, you know, hate speech, whether or not to censor it. So, anyway. And then there was a really interesting statement, and then I'll leave it alone unless you want to add to it. But
I'm interested in feminist critique in our culture.
Okay, but this is a paragraph from what the ACLU said about it. Like any government, Facebook also has an interest in separating itself from responsibility for bad things. In the case... Are you opening the freezer?
Mm-hmm.
God damn it.
I want more ice cream. Oh,
Jesus.
I feel so good today.
You're just as bad as Cheryl.
Should I do it or not?
Don't do it. Out of respect to my cholesterol.
Okay.
At least not to... Let me read this. Close it. Wait. I can hear it open. Close it. Close it. I hear it.
It's closed.
No, I... Oh, is it? Is it? Closed. I swear I didn't. I heard this suck open. I did not hear the close. Okay. It is closed?
It's closed.
Okay. Like any government, and I swear you can, the second I'm done reading this paragraph, go ahead. Go for it. Like any government, Facebook also has an interest in separating itself from responsibility for bad things. In the case of Facebook, bad things generally mean bad speech. As I've written about before, once companies open the door to any censorship, they open themselves to blame and recriminations, not only for anything they choose to censor, but also for anything they choose not to censor. And soon they are embroiled in pressures and counter-pressures over what to allow and what to forbid. If they declare their forum a free speech zone, on the other hand, they can credibly disclaim responsibility for anything that is said there. You can eat now.
Is that from the link you sent me?
That's from the ACLU. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the ACLU links back to their New York Times story and some other things. But this guy's basically a spokesperson for the ACLU, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fucking mess.
So what do you think, briefly?
I think that the thing that's important to keep in mind is that when someone's, like, pointing out hypocrisy or whatever, let's say perceived hypocrisy,
mm-hmm.
it's not their social, moral responsibility to put forth the solution. They're just saying, look how ludicrous this is. I can't show a diagram of, like, the female genitalia, like a scientific diagram so that women can be empowered.
Yes.
But this guy can put up a meme with a girl passed down and be like, so rapeable.
Exactly.
Like, fuck you. It's not that person who I would see as I don't know, a provocateur or a commentator or even an artist or an observer, whatever you want to call whoever it might be in that moment,
mm-hmm.
I absolve them of the responsibility of putting forth like protocol on how it should be handled. They can just put forth a question and be like, are you guys seeing this bullshit?
Yeah.
So she doesn't have to be saying, I'm pro more censorship or I'm anti all censorship. She can just say, look at the agenda, look at the cards on the table, look what's being blocked and look what's not.
Yeah. Right. And I think that's what she was doing, and I think that's fine. Yeah. But I think what happened is somehow that morphed into something about, you know, censorship on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Without even making, without, and leaving the whole hypocrisy thing behind. And, you know. And then it becomes interesting, too, because also in this press statement, the ACLU spokesperson basically says, you know, don't hold Facebook responsible. You know, don't hold, you know, the person who could censor responsible for not censoring. Hold the person who writes the article, offensive material or whatever, responsible. Just don't censor them. Now, that sounds great.
What does that mean? How? What do you, public shaming? What do you do?
Right. Well,
no, I'm asking, really.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, public shaming. The problem,
hold them responsible, but don't censor it. Oh, yeah. You're the rape meme poster. What? Like, how? What do you mean? Hold up.
Yeah, that's what they mean.
Fine them? Like what? I don't understand.
No. They're saying, as in, it's like a libertarian concept. There's nobody. They're saying don't censor. ACLU is saying don't censor, but instead of focusing your anger on Facebook for not censoring it, focus your anger on the offender.
Okay.
Yes, and that brings up the next issue, which then creates the issue of, guess what? Identification on Facebook and making sure that you have real names and real life names. It's a very complicated and messy thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where I have had personal problems, you know, because, you know, some, like, they're like Pinterest, I think, is the one where I couldn't sign up because they wanted my driver's license. I'm like, I'm not
driver's saying driver's license.
Yes.
What?
They wanted my driver's license because for some reason they didn't believe I was a real person. They sent me an email. Yes. And I was like, fuck you. I don't even know what this fucking thing is. I just read about it on Engadget. It's like, and they wrote me, I wrote a letter saying that I can't give it to them. They said like, well, then you can't have an account. I'm like, well, that's a great way to, I mean, they seem to have just done well despite me, my absence, but, I don't know where I'm going.
That's creepy though.
Yeah, you know, but so then by not censoring, and if you want to hold the individuals responsible, well, you can't hold them responsible if they're anonymous. So then you have then that takes you into the issue of real identification, and then that's another kind of nanny state issue.
That's insane anyway. Hold people responsible. I don't understand. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. I mean,
the only way that I can possibly even remotely get on board with that statement is that I'm definitely the kind of person that is like, please don't hold your tongue around me. Like, if I'm around some motherfucker who's racist or a homophobe,
mm-hmm.
or some other fucked up ism,
yeah,
I do not want them to hold their tongue around me. I like to know exactly where people stand. So please don't be polite for me and like not say some racist bullshit if you're wanting to. Like, say it so I can then avoid you like the plague and know that you're the sick fuck that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't be polite around me if that's how you actually feel. I like to know right where you are.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I guess I understand, but like, I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
Some libertarian, like.
So you're in favor of censorship or no? In this case, what do you think?
Do I think Facebook should censor posts?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they already do. I feel like they already do weird stuff. Like, they already, I mean, they've always, there's been weird shit like this from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
It's a, sometimes the thing that freaks me out about things like Facebook is the power people give it is more, it's like, they're still like a private company. Like, they can take on or off whatever they want. They don't owe you anything. Like, I am libertarian in that sense.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it pisses me off when they like take down pictures of vaginas and breast cancer survivors and all that stuff too, and leave rapey memes.
Yeah.
But it's a private company. Like, ugh, they don't owe you anything.
That's a publicly held company.
You know what I mean? It's not a government office that's like, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't care. It's publicly traded. That's not, it's still, they can have their own interests. Chick-fil-A is a public company too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't mean to be laissez-faire about it, but like, fundamentally,
I guess what I'm trying to
give Facebook that much power,
right? And yeah, and that's
I mean, I guess if you had to pin me down philosophically, I would say no censorship of anything if I had to choose, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was looking for. I know that Facebook may be a bad example, but I'm trying to say aside from the, you know, the fact that it's a public company or whatever, and I was just trying to get your point of view on it. I got it.
What's your point of view?
I struggle with it, honestly, but I do share your opinion of what you just said, but I also struggle with it because there are certain things that hit very close to home. Like hate speech, particularly Jewish hate speech and gay hate speech, you know, things that strike personally that make me struggle with it. But I'm also glad that there's places like the ACLU that use an absolute with it. And they absolutely do not believe in censorship. And they have pissed off a lot of Jewish people in the process, you know, by defending Nazis and Skokie and things. So I have to say that, yes, I believe in that philosophically, but at the same time, I struggle with it a lot.
Me too.
Yeah. But I do, you know, if you were asking me and I ran Facebook, I would say don't censor. Yeah. But I don't run Facebook, and I don't know what other stuff is going on over there. And I don't know, you know, what laws. You know, maybe if you don't censor and you're in charge of Facebook and you don't censor something, maybe you'll go to jail based on laws and shit. So then it gets, fuck, I don't want to go to jail. So, you know.
There's been, like, terrorist organizations on there, like, using Facebook as a way to, like, plan meetings and stuff. I mean,
and then look at the whole thing about the cartoons and the fucking crazy motherfuckers, the jihadists or whatever, that were like, we're going to fucking kill you if you publish this cartoon. I mean, when I was living in France, these people fucking firebombed this magazine called Charlie something or other.
Mm-hmm.
Because they posted, you know, a comic of Muhammad being, you know, gay. And these fucking people firebombed the place. I mean, that's censorship. In the end, it's censorship. But Charlie Hebdo is the name of the publication. But you know what? They kept doing it. A few weeks later, they had another thing, even after their office was burned out. I find it interesting.
That's terrorism. Like, that's the definition of terrorism, is like trying to scare people into doing, like, not doing something ideologically
I'm drawn to issues that aren't clear cut. Like, I wouldn't bring up a subject because I thought I knew the answer to it, which is why I bring up religion, which is why I bring up this stuff about feminism and that's the only reason why. I like to bring it up because I think that's when progress gets made, is when you can think through these things.
Yeah, it's good to have like civil discourse about these kinds of issues because you know, it's just like, I find this is true on the personal level too, like your own human, just like internal emotional struggles.
Yeah.
It's just like you were talking about before, about when you suppress something and keep it in the dark, it festers and gets weird. Oh. Just like a weird obsession with death.
Like a boil. because I had a boil on my ass. Talk about dark.
Pop the zit on your soul. That's what we're saying.
I told you about the time it exploded all over my doctor's face, right?
Yes. It's amazing.
No, it's probably just a cholesterol pocket.
Oh my God, so gross.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. And my fucking SMS tone is no high cholesterol. Talk about karma or something, or Schadenfreude. It's not, I know. Yeah, this is my text tone. Oh wait, my ringer's off. You know this. Why didn't it? Oh, because I have the headphone here.
Cholesterol.
That's karma. That's my fucking text tone. And I used
that's
to have
karma.
Well, thank God it wasn't kidney failure anymore.
High cholesterol. Okay. Well, I'm sweating now. I got to go sit down. I'm tired. That's what you get when you're overweight. High
cholesterol. That was my ringtone the whole time I lived in France, and I just loved it when I would go off, like when I'm in the metro with a bunch of French people.
It's amazing, actually. I'm not going to lie.
So anyway, well, that was... I think we're going to be done. Is that okay? Because I have to wake up in 6 hours.
Yeah, it's fine.
I like somehow you seem to have changed and become more, like, assertive, and I like that. I don't know what happened or when, but I like it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just really give zero fucks less and less every day, really? Even though I try to still be contemplative and introspective, and I think I know everything, you know.
And then see, that's why I posted. I don't know if you saw that. You saw the like the last two posts I made on Facebook, because at first I made a post basically saying, "Okay, you know, in light of this censorship stuff, I'm going to, you know, prune my Facebook friends, but I'd like to do it."
Yeah, you haven't really tied it into how it's affected you directly.
Okay, I will try and do that. So, so first I posted, you know, this kind of, you know, passive aggressive thing saying, if you find what I say offensive, please tell me and or remove yourself. In other words, I'm not going to take you off my friends list, but I want you to take it off for me if you're offended. Well, then like 5 seconds and 5 minutes later, I wrote, on second thought, I'm just going to delete all the people who I know on here, but snub me in real life, fuckers, with an alal in between. And then... somewhere after that I wrote, I'm too old and too high of cholesterol to be phony about this matter. Which I kind of feel, but it's really... And then at the same time, I feel really stupid posting that, you know? Because I know people are going to be like, oh, what's wrong with hair? You know what I mean? But that's really how I feel, honestly. And the thing is, like, I hate... That's vague booking. Mm-hmm. Yes, but it's like... Ugh. I really just fucking... feel like I don't fucking know how to relate to people in real life. I do socially. I can do social networks. Yep. I can relate to people through messaging and text, but for some reason, I don't know. Maybe it's because most of my friends have moved in the past few years. I mean, maybe it's not all my, I feel like I blame myself. And I feel like when I have people that I, you know, that kind of shun me, I don't always know if it's real or not. And it kind of drives me fucking crazy, you know? And I know that I have a lot. I know that I'm an interesting person. I may be nuts, but I know I'm interesting. Yet I know a lot of people that I don't think are particularly interesting that I think should be interested in me, but they're not. They just want to be around people like themselves talking about, you know, the Real Housewives of whatever the fuck it is. And I find,
I'm sorry, Madge.
I don't know how else to explain it, but I just,
you're explaining it.
I'm just, you know, and I think you relate to this, but I feel like I deserve people that get me, that I can have discussions with. You know, like, I would be making videos if fucking people like Cheryl lived here. You know what I mean? You know, and I've had friends like that, but then they fucking, you know, we get in fights or something. I don't fucking know. Or they move. I don't know. Whatever. The end.
Oh, Madge, I'm sorry.
Oh. Why?
Because it seems like I hurt your feelings.
What?
Understandably.
Why do you think you hurt my feelings?
Not me, no. Like, oh, when people, okay, like, they shun you and, like, you feel like they're going, yes, out to meals without including you, and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking sucks.
And the thing is, I honestly, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that can relate to this. There must be. I'm sure this isn't just me, but I'm like a fucking weirdo. You know, that's why I like that movie. I'm a fucking weirdo.
I'm very weird, too. Yeah. Deeply weird. Like, I'm a fucking weirdo, weird.
But that doesn't mean I don't, you know. I want to be a weirdo, because that's who I am, and I think that's good, and I like that about
yourself,
myself.
Yeah.
But, like, then there's this thing called other people that are just, sometimes they give me that potato face, pancake face, you know? Or it's like, huh?
I understand. I feel weird a lot of the time, too. Like, yeah. All the time. And also, though, you should just, like, notice a little bit when you're out around other people.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's getting a little weird from technology. Like, I've tried to be really conscious of that, like, when I'm in really weird group settings with people I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I go work out, people are getting really weird. I'm seeing more people talk to themselves, like, without any, like, earpiece in, just talking to themselves or acting very socially weird. Like, I think if you just, when you're out, I think this is just helpful in general.
Mm-hmm.
When you're out in a social setting and you're feeling weird,
mm-hmm.
to just kind of open your heart a little bit. And I'm telling myself this at the same time. It's not like I have this all dialed in and like I get it perfect every time, mm-hmm. or ever, 0% of the time. But okay. I think it's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when you're feeling that weirdness and you're feeling self-conscious, to open your heart and really take in the people around you, and you'll be amazed at how vulnerable we all are. You know what I mean?
Hmm? Yeah, makes sense.
Everybody's a little fucking weird right now. Like, I'm not just saying some, like...
But, I mean, I'm curious...
Love and harmony, like, open your heart. I'm saying, like, seriously, if you get out of your head and look at people, everybody's a little wigged out right now. People are tripping.
What's going on? I mean, I haven't really noticed this. What are you... I'm curious about this thing.
I just see more weirdos lately than I have... I think in the last year.
But like what? You see people talking to themselves without an earpiece, like normal people that you know, I've seen that too, but I haven't really thought about it, but I always kind of look for the earpiece. What the fuck's that about then? What else have you noticed?
Technology. It's like we're too much in technology, and that's why we're all feeling a little socially awkward when we're in group settings.
You think it's just people like of a certain age, or is it like,
no,
you think it's everyone, even like 9 year olds?
I think technology fucks with your social interaction if it's not very, very limited.
Interesting.
This is part of, I mean, we're like, oh, interesting, but really, like, we all saw this coming. We've been talking about this. Like, I remember 20 years ago being like, this doesn't sound like a good idea if we're all in our magic box all the time. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, like, so left field. Yeah. It's part of why I enjoyed being in Israel, too. Like, even just having Sabbath. Just having Sabbath where you're, like, phone's off, computer's off, everything's off. Not touching anything. Like, we could not need Sabbath more now than ever in any time in history, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like... I'm not saying it's all perfect and blissful there, and there's certainly technology there, and everyone's on their technology too. You know, just it's a little extra weird here. Feels a little heavy duty here.
Hmm.
People need to fucking go fucking play. They need to go put their shit down and go play in the sand for like an hour. You know what I mean?
You know, the last week or maybe the week before, it was sunny out. You know, and usually I wake up in the morning and I bring like my Kindle or my iPhone or some device, you know, and I have this trial in the New York Times, which I definitely won't be renewing because it's free, you know, like who the fuck can afford $20 a month?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's not even fun, like reading the goddamn newspaper on this little fucking thing. And even though you can see, but the other, anyway, a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was, I didn't have it with me and I just sat down and it was sunny and Trotsky sat on my lap and I just sat there like vegetating for like, you know, I don't know, a half hour. And it felt so good without technology, without any of that shit.
Thank God you gave yourself that gift.
But yeah, it's hard to do though. Like it's
really hard.
It happened by accident.
Yeah.
Huh. But I saw this sign today in some store. It said, you know, it's just one of these dumb things that is usually not as profound as it claims itself to be. But it said something like, you know, whatever, to paraphrase, something like, wherever, whatever it is you think about when your mind wanders, that's what you should be doing.
That's not true for me.
Well, no, it was basically like, okay, I just wanted to know, I'll just ask the question, what do you think about when your mind wanders? Aside from sex, of course, because everybody thinks about that. Like, when you're just walking around, da-da-da-do-da-do, what do you think about? If you want to share it, I don't know.
No, it's not. It's a really good question. I'm often, I guess, when my mind wanders, often like berating myself. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that's not good. That's something I'm still working on.
Anything else besides that? I mean, like, is there something you find yourself like thinking about? Like poems or something? I don't know. I'm just like, do you think about stories or? I'm just curious.
No, it's a good question. Like, I think about a lot of stuff. I think about God a lot and spirituality a lot. And okay.
That's good.
Think about the people I care about a lot. Like, not in such a healthy way. Like, I'll be like obsessing over people. Like, what's going on? How are they? You know, and like, but I often, a lot of it is inner critic thought where I'm like, why are you fat? Why are you stupid? You fucked up again today. Just, you're so weird. Like,
see, I think about technology.
I think about it too.
I mean, but that's where my mind generally goes. And it's not just, I don't think about philosophical anything.
Well, when you say think about technology, do you mean like you crave to be using technology or you're like contemplating technology?
Oh, I think about the latest, you know, iPhone. I think about, well, what about Androids? What about this new app? What can I do with this? You know, what about this thing?
Oh my God. What? I don't do that.
I like figure things out. Like, what can I do? Can I do this with this and this with this? And can I sync this with this? I mean, this is where my mind goes. It goes, it's very like technical. Kind of figure out this, it's almost like weird.
That is weird.
I mean, it was good in a way because it made me feel okay because I'm, you know, planning to go back into the tech space. So
it's problem solving. It's like, it's, you're thinking about.
It just made me curious because you mentioned the technology things. I'm like, that's interesting. Because I don't look at technology from the I don't look at it from a self-awareness place. You know, like, I am in it. I'm soaking in it. And I don't make any claim to be like, I'm not in any way a sociological observer of technology like I am of a lot of other things because I'm soaked in it. So that's why I was interested in your observation about it, because you can see it from a different...
I mean, I'm still soaked in it, but my thoughts aren't... if I'm thinking about technology, I'm more like freaked out. Like, I'm thinking about Google glasses and how much they freak me out.
Oh, I know.
Or like...
Me too,
Those weird retina control screens that you can like swipe with moving your eyeballs. But I also think about technology in like awesome ways. But whenever I think about technology in awesome ways, it's always very creative, artsy-fartsy. Like, I'm like, oh my God, it's so beautiful that I could be like collaborating on a track with somebody who's like, you know, bedridden in Japan right now, could produce a track with me. You know what I mean? Like, when I'm thinking about technology as positive, I'm never thinking of like newest, fastest, best, how to sync apps. I'm thinking like,
No.
I'm so connected with people. Like, I don't think I'm that smart about like the latest technology. Like, I'm not a technophobe, but I'm not a technophile, but definitely I'm not kidding myself that I don't spend most of my time sucked into technology. I need to spend a lot less.
Okay. Well, I'm interested in the sociological standpoint, so I think
me too.
Interesting if you should maybe explore that.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. I've been making a choice to be consciously aware of the people around me when I'm in social settings where you can't have your technology, which is rare. Like a workout class, you just really can't be on your phone because your body is engaged doing something.
Oh my God.
And people get weird.
But haven't, yeah.
And I feel it more in LA than I did in Israel. But I also think it's like a year ago now that I first left for Israel almost. And I feel like there's a quickening happening too. And like people are getting distinctly weirder at faster rates.
Oh my God, and those fucking glasses. Jesus.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm like, my attitude is like, I just can't imagine that actually passing. You know, I think it could be like, you know how with the tablets, you know, the iPhone we have now, you know, was mm-hmm. preceded, you know, in the early 90s, they had Apple made a Newton, which was a total failure. And then they didn't get it right till like another, you know, 15 years later when the iPhone came out. So I'm really hoping that this is going to be like the Newton, and then it'll just like fizzle, and then we won't have to worry about it till I'm on Social Security again. Well, I am because I'm old, but you know what I mean. I'm scared. Something about those fucking glasses just really pisses me off. And it's not even, it's not even the photo. It's not like, okay, here's what really bothers me about it more than anything. And there's tons. I never ever read anybody talking about the fact that maybe it causes fucking cancer to stick a goddamn radio battery and several different kinds of, you know, transceivers right next to your fucking brain. All the time. How do you not think
cancer,
of that?
Cancer, you'd be lucky if you live long enough to get cancer. You'd be, like, stroking out.
Yeah.
You think they've, like, used this any, like, extended period of time? Like,
and then your retina, like, it actually... Do you know how it works?
Please.
It doesn't... Yes. It doesn't project an image onto the glasses. It projects an image through a prism directly onto your retina.
So fucked up. I mean... Give me a
Jesus
break.
Christ.
Like, what is this? Like, are we like on Dr. Evil's Island? Like,
I know I sound like an old curmudgeon and all that, or I guess that's redundant, but you know, I don't care. I'm just telling what I think. So.
No, I agree. I find those Google glasses terrifying.
I mean, like, Apple's talking about a watch, which I think is also stupid and will fail because, like, why do you need a fucking watch? I thought, I don't need a watch anymore. I got this fucking phone. And now you need a watch to be a remote control to your phone, which is a remote control to your iPad. Oh, my God, I have so many fucking devices. And I'm part of the problem.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm definitely
I have a fucking Kindle, an iPad, an iPhone, and a MacBook, and I can't even fucking afford a place of my own to goddamn live in. I'm a technology, homeless, junkie loser
mm-hmm.
with high cholesterol. The fuck is that noise?
Is that a cow? What's going on?
Oh, that's my goddamn technology. Accidentally playing Michael Jackson's Beat It. I did not tell it to. It just fucking started doing that. Seriously, Michael Jackson, Beat It, Moby's Submix. I didn't even know I had that fucking song on my goddamn thing. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, I feel sufficiently crazy to end this now.
Be good. I feel so weird all the time, too. Like, if I, sometimes just this, like, I'll be feeling pretty good most of the time, and then just this, like, wave of, like, sick anxiety about technology and, like, the stuff you're talking about will come over me, and I'm just mm-hmm. like, well, we're in a bad way. Like, because I still feel like sometimes I'm like, what am I doing? Like, am I going back to Israel or what, you know? And I'm excited about the stuff I'm working on here, and there's a lot of good things going on for me here creatively, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still some parts of my life that are just really weird.
Yeah.
And if I think about them, I'll start to freak out.
Exactly. And I'm right there with you on that.
So I just try not to think about them.
Yep.
But like, I'm trying to be normal about guys is like really problematic.
Trying to be normal?
Yeah, like, I don't know how to deal with
You don't
guys.
Know how to not, like, react the right way and shit, you mean? Like,
I don't even, yeah, like, yeah. I'm so weird.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how to be normal.
Maybe you don't have to be normal. Maybe you just need to find somebody who's sufficiently abnormal. I don't know.
I don't think I want to be with someone as weird as me. I'm fucking weird, yo. They could be almost as weird. What?
No,
how's your lesbian lover?
I don't talk about her. I try not to talk about. I don't think I've ever admitted.
You're talking more and more by talking right now.
Well,
don't say anything.
In my case, no, I will say one thing. I feel like I need somebody who is opposite in many ways of me.
Me too.
But at the same time, similar. Like, I like somebody who will have the same taste in movies as me, so we can go to the same movies, which I have. But I also like somebody who is not going to co-sign my bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like...
Accountability.
Yeah.
I mean, that's on you, but yeah, you don't need someone who's going to, like, enable or co-sign on your bullshit.
And I require a very strong personality because otherwise I'll just run them over like a fucking bulldozer with my shitty personality. You know what I mean? It's true. I have this fucking shit personality. Maybe you need to look for somebody that's opposite from you. I don't know.
Of course I need someone opposite than me.
I don't know. I think you're fine because, you know, it's just expectations. Everybody I know, married or not, boyfriend or not, they're all so fucked up on the inside and sad.
So true. Everyone is just these we're just these raw wounds just trying to be okay. That's why I just try to feel love for everyone. I try to.
And sometimes I try to, I remember like, okay, me being single and unhappy is much better than the times I've been in a relationship and unhappy, because that's fucking prison.
That's very wise, Madge. That was like Sylvia Brown wise.
Yeah.
No, that was nice.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point. I wish I felt the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't.
Okay. Well.
But I've also had, I am often single. I'm not someone who goes from relationship to relationship. I tend to do it only if I really feel for that person. And when my relationships are bad, they've been kind of good. Like, I haven't been in, I don't know how to say that.
I think straight relationships are under different pressures than gay lesbians. Because I think straight relationships in many ways have more pressure. And they're like, for example, I don't think gay relationships have the same pressure to be monogamous and to have all or nothing.
True.
There are many gay relationships where it's like, you know what? And I know straight people too that battle with this. That maybe, you know, they're married to somebody, they love somebody else. You know, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. If you're happy, like my attitude is like, okay, if you have mutual agreement and you're happy with the situation, like, okay, let's say you have a husband and you have a lover, and everybody's cool with it. And you're cool with it.
Yeah, what do I care?
You know what I mean?
Anyone does.
No, but I mean the person involved. You know, I mean, it's easier to do shit like that when you're gay because we don't have, like, a cookie-cutter mold.
Well, it's even more than a cookie-cutter mold. It's, like, centuries and thousands of years of programming and something.
And religions. Yeah, it's telling us to be...
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't care personally what anyone does. Like, I don't care. As long as nobody's getting hurt, what do I care what people do in their relationships? If you're not hurting a child or something, like, do whatever you want. Like, I don't care if married people, what their covenant is with themselves or each other. Like, everyone has to do what's right for them. If it works for them to have some other person in their relationship, that's fine. If not, not. I would agree that because a quote-unquote, like, a gay relationship is outside of the construct of a traditional, religiously sanctioned, in terms of fundamentalism, again, relationship. Because it's already outside of those boundaries, there are things about it that are different. I think age is another really strong example of that. I think you see a much wider gap of age being considered less taboo in lesbian and gay male relationships than in the straight world.
And I do too, and I find that very interesting because I've always, I always hear like a lot of bullshit about, I wouldn't forget that I call it bullshit, but I hear a lot of stuff about, you know, gay community, gay male community is so ageist, right? Well, that's true if you look at advertising, but if you look at the relationships, like, there's all kinds of preferences everywhere. There's fat guys that like other fat guys. There's fat guys that like skinny guys. There's old guys that like young guys. There's young guys that like old guys. Aside from money, you know, I'm not even talking about a money relationship. That shit is all over the place. And in the gay community, like, it doesn't fucking matter. If you're a fucking triple amputee, somebody fucking wants that shit.
I think that's true whenever you want to fuck men.
Yeah.
You like fucking men, you can get fucked.
You don't think that's true in the straight world?
If you like fucking men, if you're a woman who likes fucking men, you can get fucked.
But you're talking about relationships, which is another story.
No, I'm talking about just sex.
Okay.
If you are someone who enjoys sex with males, be you a gay male, a straight woman, however.
So what's your issue then? Your issue is not getting sex. Your issue is relationship.
Well, I mean, I do need to just probably, it would probably be better for everybody involved, myself extremely included, if I just got laid. But I think I'm too weird for that.
No fucking way. You know what? Sometimes when I get this fucking weird ass shit and I get bitchy and I'm such a fucking cunt, it's just because I need to get fucking laid. And I hate that it's that simple. But it's either that or I forgot to take my fucking Wellbutrin. Or if I didn't go to yoga class, like if I don't go at least 3 yoga classes a week, I'm a fucking bitch on wheels. If I don't, you know.
Mm-hmm. If I stop exercising, I like sink into depression within a matter of days.
Oh, yeah. It's weird, huh? It's weird. I do too. Totally. It's like not just depression, but, well, it's the same thing, but anxiety, you know, where you're just like, everything's fucked.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I skip a day, as long as I'm doing like the certain basic, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Weird. Anyway, we need to go. It's 12:16 here. I have to wake up and. No, I have to be at the. Yeah.
Okay, well, this was a really good convo.
Yeah, so everybody will hate it because it sounded good to us.
Mm-hmm.
This means it's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Really, it's so boring.
Yeah.
What did we learn today? Eat your greens.
High cholesterol.
Atheism is fundamentalism.
And be embarrassed if you're weird.
Yeah. Okay, good.
And you'll love the album art, I hope. I think you will.
I know. You better post this like right now because I'm dying to see the album.
Oh, no, I'm not going to. I can't post it till tomorrow. It's too late. Sorry.
Oh, fine.
And I might, if I have a lot of energy, I might post a part from the Rosen Cavalier there where I just chill out.
But yeah, King King, how do you say it? King King. How do you say the name?
Kong, Kong. It's like Kong Kong. I'm sure he'll get a huge kick out of it.
Sing it again.
Kong Kong. Kong Kong.
I'm going to pee my pants.
Kong Kong. Moncosino. It's a mezzo-soprano. I can't even sing. I can't sing any Anno or alto, but I can't sing at all.
I went and saw a real opera the other day.
Oh, great. We're going to start another conversation.
Well, it was interestingly sexist. The message was so sexist.
Okay, what was the name of the opera? And then we're done.
Okay. It's called Dolce Rosa, and it's based on a short story by Isabel Allende.
Oh, nice.
Who's a badass. So I have to believe that it was somehow just kind of maybe simplified or just didn't translate from short story to opera. You know, it was really beautiful and cool and everything. It was opera, you know? But the message of it was, like, the beloved daughter, Dolce Rosa, she's like, you know, the young ingenue.
Yeah.
And she gets raped. And then ends up, like, her rapist.
Was there a hashtag involved?
Turns bitter. What?
Was there a hashtag involved?
Yeah, hashtag rape culture. She gets raped, and then she turns off. She's engaged. Her fiancé goes off to America.
Mm-hmm.
She gets raped. She starts wearing pants and a low ponytail. Gets real hard around the edges. And then her rapist comes after many years and confesses to her and says he's sorry, and she's haunted him all of these years. And then she falls in love with her rapist.
Mm-hmm.
Then her husband comes back from America for her, sees that she's in love with her rapist, and shoots her. The end.
Awesome. I want to see it. Okay, I have to go.
Bye.
If you want to play me, do you want me to play something at the end? Do you have anything in particular or no?
I want you to play the Kin Kin.
Oh,
we could play a Rachel track. I don't have any new tracks, so I just feel bad. I need to make a new album really soon, but right now I don't have any new ones, but I could send you one.
Well, I have the old ones. I don't need you to send them.
Okay.
All right, I'll figure it out then. Don't worry. If I can find a Rose... Maybe I'll play a clip where he says, Kong Kong!
Please, that's what I'm saying. When play Ken
no,
Ken.
But
that's
when
what
we're
get.
Talking about it, and then at the end, maybe I'll play the whole rest of that scene. Oh, it's just wonderful music. Okay. Bye, Rachel. Thank you.
Love you, Matt.
You too. See you later. Bye.
In the mind. this radio, you'll hear the word cunt a lot.
Did you say cunt?
But baby, so what?
You shouldn't use that word. A lot of people find that very offensive.
On this radio, you'll hear the mother of all lesbians bitch about the government, scream about the president. Talk about a prolapse. What a wonderful prolapse. Wonderful prolapse. Could ease radio. That's where it's at. What a wonderful prolapse.
Will you fuck my hole?